5 months I've been hammering this deal. You know, my team has been beaten up on it. And I think just anything you do, you got to dig your teeth in and you just got to keep on doing it and don't give up no matter what, dude. That's the key.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Naked Truth about Real Estate Investing. And today I'm with my friend Jacob from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Are you in North Carolina, Myrtle Beach? There's two, right?
I live in Myrtle Beach, but I do most of my business in North Carolina or around that triad area.
So you're in like Greensboro, Winston-Salem area, which is about an hour and a half from where I live, which is about, 4.5 hours from Myrtle Beach or so? 4 hours?
Three and a half. Yep.
Not too bad. Yeah. And I know you do some flips. You got some rentals. You're married. You got two kids.
Yeah.
How many kids you got? Two kids. Yeah.
Two little girls, yeah, man.
And, it's good, man. I mean, you're busy. I obviously you all got new projects and I'm glad to have you on the show. So just tell me a little bit about you, what I miss. I know I miss a lot, but.
No, dude. Hey, you pretty much got it, man. So my main business is I flip in Myrtle Beach and in the Triad area, North Carolina, do a little bit of wholesaling and hold a bunch of rentals. I own some, strip centers, office buildings, some single tenant stuff, and a bunch of single family houses, some smaller multifamily houses. Would love to get into some bigger multifamily stuff, but haven't had an opportunity that made sense, you know, thus far. As I remember, I called you the other day and I was asking you a little bit about that transition.
Yeah, for sure, man. It was a crazy transition for me. But you've been doing real estate, 16 years?
How long? 16 years, man. Been through the crash and stayed above water, was able to survive and keep it moving.
Hey, so let me ask you this, now that you brought that up. So going from the 2008, 2009 kind of crash, if you would have had to take a guess, would you have guessed that this would have happened or it would have been like total opposite?
No freaking way, man. I was pretty worried, man, because I was in the middle of some more expensive projects. So okay. I had like $400,000+ flips going on.
Oh, shoot.
And yeah. So
for this area, that's big. That's big.
Dude, yeah. And in the Myrtle Beach area, you know, and bro, they were like the vacation style rentals. And I'm sitting here thinking like, oh my God, dude, I gotta get rid of these things, you know? And one of them was pending and it ended up closing. And I mean, they all ended up selling. I didn't get as much money as I wanted to, but I got rid of them all. Thank God. I had no idea this would happen, man. I thought for sure. At first, I was like, dude, it's a big joke. You know, this is nothing, man. This is like, it's just going to blow by. And I was like, keep putting offers in. Let's slam on some deals. And actually, we renegotiated. We used like everything that we had on the table. We renegotiated at $10,000 to $15,000 less to close. And if it was like an iffy deal, even more than that. So,
yeah, with the sellers, right? Like, hey guys, we know what's going on with COVID. You know, we got to get a discount. Yeah.
Yep. But you know what? Looking back at it, I walked from some pretty good deals that I should have bought. But I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, if it's going to go up or down or, you know, you don't even know.
It's the craziest place to be, right? I mean, we had a couple of projects where we're closing and then the banks pulled the loans a few weeks before we closed, right? It was like, right? Like all the money we spent on due diligence and all that, we couldn't get any of it back. So, at the end of the day, like, I mean, you want to survive, right? You want to survive to fight another day. So if that's what it took, like, I need to drop some stuff quickly so I can, just in case it does crash, I'm still above water.
Dude, right? I pulled out like a bunch of cash on my lines of credit and I just put them in my bank because I wasn't sure if like the banks were going to shut down that or not. I was making sure, you know, like we know each other through CG and that's what they're telling you to do. Make sure to get some cash and be ready, you know?
Yeah. Well, I remember, I mean, everybody was like, hey, man, the crash is coming. Some people are like, no. Some people are like, yeah. I mean, nobody knows, right? We all wish we had a crystal ball, right?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah.
If I knew I had a crystal ball, I would have done a lot of different stuff this last year, but you know.
No doubt. So, no doubt, man.
Yeah. But now, are you selling any of your rentals right now or are you keeping everything?
So yeah, I bought about 30 in the last 60 days, you know, single family mainly. One of them was a 8-unit, but the rest were just single family houses. So I'm like really bullish on that. Some of my old stuff, I mean, if it's gone up crazy in value, there's like some deferred maintenance on it. I'm just putting it on the market as is and selling it, taking that cash from Myrtle Beach. I'm putting it over here in the Triad, man. I love this area and a hurricane can't smash my stuff up, you know? So a little bit safer.
So tell me about the seller's market right now. You put one of your rentals with deferred maintenance. How's that looking?
Dude, it's like multiple offers, first day, crazy, nuts, like, you know, way more than I thought. I mean, there's even like escalation offers where, you know, like if you show them a contract for more than what they're paying, they're willing to like outbeat that. And then there's like addendums with, we'll pay up to $10,000 or $20,000 over appraisal. And a big thing that's happened that's been a total game changer, man, is you got hedge funds out here buying single family properties, bro. And they are outbidding, they're paying cash and they're closing, man. You know,
wow,
which is insane. Crazy. Yeah,
look, so I'm buying a house. I close on it next Friday, which in about 8 days.
You're telling me,
and it's a year and a half old, roughly.
Yeah,
and I'm paying like $150K more than what the guy paid for a year and a half ago, and it didn't even appraise. You know
what happened? You just got to suck it up.
And I'm dying inside because
I'm
overpaying for this house, but my wife's so happy, she's so excited, and the kids, everybody's happy. And I'm smiling, but I'm dying inside because I'm like, I got no discount. And I'm getting hammered here, right? You feel me, right?
I feel you. Did you try to renegotiate or they weren't having it?
Oh, no, man. Look, honestly, we got lucky given like 10,000 due diligence.
Yeah.
Right now, the due diligence here, like deposits are like 30, 40, 50K, you know?
30, 40, 50K.
You know, or the same amount, like my wife, was somebody in her office, they listed a house for like $200,000 and somebody gave a $200,000 due diligence.
Jesus.
So basically means if you don't buy the house, you lose your money. You lost all.
Yeah.
They're buying cash, man.
Dude, I get it, man. I get it. Well, dude, hey, the most important thing, as we had a conversation earlier, keep mama happy. Keep mama happy. That's it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we were chatting earlier, right? You called me and we're talking about our wives, about their love language. And we're talking about yours and mine have, what is it, quality time?
Yep. Quality
time. We said, hey, if we realize that we haven't spent time with them, it's too late, right? It's like
too late.
Yeah, they've known that for a while.
You're on the shit list, man, if you don't do that.
Hey, with that, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
What are you more nervous about? I don't want to say afraid, but nervous. So you walk into your house and you're going to tell your wife, honey, we lost 10 grand in a flip. That's number one.
Okay.
Or you walk into the house and you're going on a trip that you've already planned. You already made plans for it. You're already going.
Okay.
But you haven't told your wife. And somebody else told her before she told you. I mean, before you told her. Like, somebody told her before you told
her. Oh, dude, definitely.
So, which one's more scary for you, the 10 grand or that part?
Number two, man. Number two. Ultimately, my wife will be happy if I planned a trip. But, like, you know, communication is very big. Yeah, I got to, like, you got to stay on good terms with that, man.
I didn't ask you that over the phone because I wanted to ask you that over the interview. But exactly. That's exactly what my wife. She'd be like,
dude,
you lost 10 grand? But wait, what about this trip that I heard you're going on? Like, why is Jacob telling me you're going on a trip with him? Like, I don't know what to say, right? Like, I forgot, like, you know, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, man. But it takes a special partnership, right, with a spouse to be married to an entrepreneur, you know, for sure. I mean, we're not your ordinary people, man. We're just a little bit crazy, I think. Man.
Yeah, a little crazy.
So look, usually on my interviews, I ask a couple of questions.
Cool.
At some point, like the favorite way of finding a deal or structuring or your favorite exit strategy. So right now, you know, the market's super tight, right? Super hot. I hear people like having a hard time. Hey, deal flow is slowing down. So what do you say is your favorite way of finding a project?
Everybody kind of knows like how to get deals. It's just persistence, you know? So I would just say anything that you're doing, you know, my favorite way is like, you know, probably just going like PropStream or something, high equity, out of state. You can never go wrong with that. That's always going to be good, but just hammer the hell out of that list. I mean, you cannot just like, you got some beginners and, you know, they spend a little bit of money that hammer a list that they get, and then they give up after like a couple months. Like literally, dude, I bought a house yesterday that I was just hammering from 6 months ago. And then five months I've been hammering this deal. You know, my team has been beating up on it. And I think just anything you do, you got to dig your teeth in. And you just got to keep on doing it and don't give up no matter what, dude. That's the key. That's the key, man. You know, it's
so you're saying basically it's just a follow up, right? It's all it is, right?
You got to follow up and beat it to hell. And just because something doesn't work for a month, a couple months, dude, you could work on something 5 months. And I can tell you, both these deals we're doing, we're making minimum 50K. Minimum.
Wow. Yeah.
Would you work 2 months for 50K? I mean, maybe not you, but somebody.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Right. Yeah. Simple follow up, right? Don't worry. Right. You know, just keep following up. It can take 2 months. Actually, right before I'm in Ohio right now, so I'm podcasting remotely in my hotel room. But right before I left, I had a lady call me, and I hadn't talked to her in 3 years. But since I stopped doing single family, I bought a house from her. Awesome. And she had a couple more houses to sell. And she's like, hey, remember that house that we walked? And I said, sure. And she's like, I'm ready to sell it, right? And I'm like, okay, well, I don't buy houses. But I didn't tell her that. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy it, whatever. And we were getting to a price. I text my buddy who's buying houses there in Raleigh. I'm like, hey, man, I got this house. It's in Carrboro. And it's worth like $400K. You know, $250 for you. How about $250? He's like, yeah, I'll take it.
Boom. Like, look at that.
Whatever.
Look
and that. I get it for like $200. Right? I get it for $200 and I give it to him for $250. He'll make like $50K on the flip, right? I don't really care, but
yeah,
it's like done. Not really for follow-up, but just when I got her first house, I followed up with her for like almost a year.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? That's what it takes. That's what it takes.
And then she actually called me back 3 years later for her other house, but it's crazy.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
You know? And so that's awesome. For sure. So follow up, man, for sure.
Persistence. Don't give up. You know, you just got to keep going.
What's your favorite exit strategy?
Dude, honestly, right now in this market, it's take it down and just clean it off a little bit and put it back on the market. That's the number one thing you could be doing right now. If you're not doing that, you're leaving money on the table. You know, you can wholesale deals or whatever, but if you have the ability to take a deal down, if you list it, people are foaming at the mouth for anything right now, bro. That is my favorite thing to do. Like dust a property off and make the same money as if I was going to flip it. That is my favorite thing.
Yeah. How about I told a buddy of mine, I said, hey, man, why don't you just offer if somebody wants more money for their house, just say, okay, I'll give you whatever you want, even more than the market's at right now.
Yeah.
Just tell them that you give it to them. But, you know, in 6 months, say, hey, just give me, I have my money tied up. Let me just get an option on it for the next 6-9 months.
Perfect.
And you never know. What if the market appreciates another 30% this summer, right? We don't know.
You never know.
Then you come back and buy it then, and then it's worth more, right? And it doesn't cost you any money. I mean, there's a lot of ways you can do, even with people wanting more money for their house.
Yeah, so. No doubt, man. No doubt. But yeah, I think that's a really rare thing I've never seen this before, man. You know, just like putting it on the market as is and letting people fight over it, dude. I mean, it's insane. Like you're in a blessed, awesome area. We're not quite as hot as you are where you're at in Raleigh, but we're still pretty hot out here, man. Just like everywhere else in the United States.
So what are your thoughts? Right now it's May, but supposedly in June, they might lift foreclosure, I guess, whatever they have on there, like a block on foreclosures. What do you call it? Moratorium?
Yep.
Foreclosures. So what's the word on the street, right? When that gets lifted?
Dude, you know, in the back of my mind, I got to feel like something's going to change, man. But I feel like I'm very bullish to buy. And I think good economy, bad economy, I'm not going to slow down, man. I'm just not going to buy more than $300,000 houses. We have the luxury and the triad to do that. I don't know about Raleigh, but
yeah,
I'm very bullish. I really, in my heart, feel like we got another at least 8 months to a year, I think. But two things that'll really be an indicator of that: if inventory goes way up, if rates change, and then that's all we got to kind of be looking out for. Just check the inventory in your market and stay on top of those rates. Those are going to be the only things that are really going to affect the market, in my opinion.
So, Jacob, so tell me a little bit. I know you're in Myrtle Beach, and you're about 3.5 hours away. So I know you drive out and you stay in Greensboro for a couple of days. How often do you do that?
So I'm traveling about a week out of every month is what I like coming out here, because right now, I mean, we're at least buying 2 to 4 houses per week, if not more. So I really like to stay on top of it. I like to just get out here and just fully engage myself and learn as much as I can. You have to do that. You got to really get to know a market if you want to dominate it. And we're smashing it up out here, dude. We're doing really
good.
Super
cool. So what do you say? So somebody out there listening to this, they say 2 to 4 houses per year. And they just said, no, he said per week, I see. For a week. So how do you do that, right? As far as like people gonna ask, like, hey man, where you getting your money? You got some rich parents, you know, what's going on?
No rich parents. I mean, I happen to own a bunch of commercial real estate outright and a bunch of real estate outright. I set up a line of credit on that to where I have a pretty stout line of credit, and I just use my line of credit, and they're moving so quick that it's crazy. And I have cash too, of course. And when you have a deal, it's easy to raise cap. I mean, you know that better than anybody, you know? So like, if you have a deal and you have somebody that has some money, if you just throw it out there, you'll find somebody to fund a deal for maybe 10% and a couple points, or just a flat 12%. I mean, there's people out there that can do that and that are really happy to do it. Like, you know, old retired real estate investors that aren't really doing it anymore. They would love to make that a return on the investment, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I always ask your network, and if you got a right project, for sure you'll find someone that
you'll find the money.
You'll find
the money.
Sure. Yeah. All right. So, what do you think has been your kind of your biggest challenge? What's your biggest mistake in real estate, and what do you think you could have done to avoid it?
Okay, so my biggest mistake for sure is flipping high-end houses, man. A lot of guys do it awesome, bro. For me, I just like that below 300 where I can do a basic rehab put it back in the market, the same one every single time. I'm using the same flooring, same color paint, same trim, same appliances. So when you get into the higher end, yes, you can 100% make more money. All right. There's a lot of guys that are making way more money than I am doing these deals. So maybe like five of my deals is like one of their deals. But I like just being steady, man. Just steady hitting, steady chopping deals. And those rehabs on the higher end, you got to be so meticulous. Everything's got to be perfect. The material can be out of control because you have to use the higher end stuff. Maybe not right now in this market, anything's selling, but there will be an adjustment at some point in time and you have to be ready for that. So I would say just breaking off high-end rehabs, it wasn't a fit for me. I'd have been better off not doing that at all. I had like last year and a half, I had one I lost 100 grand on. And then I had another one I lost 80 grand on. So, you know, not everyone's a winner. Fortunately, I continue to do awesome. So it didn't hurt me in the big scheme of things. But no one likes to lose 180K on two deals, you know?
Yeah. Well, there's a podcast that I did solo at the beginning. I talk about how I lost like 70K back to back on the same month.
Oh, on
two different deals, man. It was
yeah.
Brutal.
Yeah.
And one of them was a high-end house too. So.
Yep. But dude, I'll tell you, I'm very bullish on single family houses out here, especially, man. But just in general, I'm huge on cash flow. So I'm big on single family houses and whatever I need to do to get more cash flow, man. I'm very focused on that right now.
Yeah, super cool, man. I always have some good energy, man. I've always enjoyed just having a conversation when we met at our masterminds. It's a pleasure. Let me ask you one last question. How has being part of a mastermind impacted your real estate career?
Total game changer, man. So anything that you struggle with on a day-to-day basis, which we all do, sometimes we don't have an answer. Like honestly, I was driving from Myrtle Beach to here and I called just buddies with different things that are on my mind. I asked like this one guy I know, his name is Mike Osborne. He has like, I think 550 houses in California or something. And I asked him, what did he do? Is it better to leverage more? Is it better to take 30-year money? Is it better to take the 15 and just run through different scenarios with him? Like you have so many people at your fingertips that can help you, man. And not only that, dude, it makes you level up. So if you got guys you're in a room with, let's say you're all right, you're doing okay. Let's say you're making a couple hundred thousand a year, whatever, right? And you're sitting here thinking like, yeah, man, this is pretty cool. And you're sitting next to a dude that makes a couple mil a year, or you're sitting next to somebody 21 that's like, you know, making 4 or 5 to 6 million in a year. And you're like, damn, dude, I got to step my game up, you know?
Yep.
I got to step shit up. This is a real person that's right next to you and it's possible. So it just really, for me, man, I mean, it really ups your game and just having all like you solve problems, ups your game and just being around that and inspires you, man. It really does.
Yeah, I know for sure. And one of the biggest things is you can call them and you can ask them, hey, what are you doing? You know, what's working for you? And that's everybody shares freely, you know, like, hey guys, I've been using this and that, and it's working great. And a couple of other guys tried it. It's working great for them. So you're like, okay, let me give it a try. So that's also cool.
Yeah.
It's also awesome, man. Yeah. It's been a game changer for me as well. One of my favorite quotes is, hang out with winners. So your wins don't sound like you're bragging. Right.
That's right.
It's just awesome to hang out with like-minded folks.
Yeah.
Well, Jacob, I tell you what, man, we're in the part of the show where it's my favorite part, which I'm going to bring out the Naked Truth Roulette. And I'm going to ask you four random questions.
Let's go.
And you're not going to get a pass, man. You got to answer each one.
All right. Let's do it, man. Let's do it.
All right. Let's give the first question here for Jacob.
Right on.
Let's see what we got. All right. When something breaks, do you replace it or do you fix it?
Something breaks. Like how so? Just like in a house?
In the house. Yeah, in the house.
I mean, I'm not a fix it dude, man. I mean, I used to be a plumber for the better part of my life. If there is a leak underneath my thing, I call somebody to take care of it, dude. My wife,
right.
she would definitely me rather do it. Like I literally, like if there's a dollhouse or anything, I just have somebody else take care of that. But you know, to answer it, I'm more of a place it type of guy, dude. I just replace it. I'm not into tinkering and fixing. Not my jam, dude.
Awesome. All right. So replace it. Awesome.
Replace it.
All right. Question number two.
Okay.
Let's see what we got. All right. That's a good one. Let's see. So what's favorite song, artist, band?
Dude, you know, I like old school, man. I like Queen. You know, I like Queen. Oh, I like little
Queen.
Yeah. Red Hot Chili Peppers, some Queen. You know, that's probably it, man.
I can't go wrong, man, with Red Hot Chili Peppers or Queen.
Yeah.
All right, man. Third question.
Okay.
Let's see what we got.
All right.
All right. If you had the world's attention for 30 seconds, what would you say?
World's attention for 30 seconds. If you got a house you're looking to sell, I'm looking to buy. Give me a call, baby. 410 cash.
Okay, man. All right. This is probably the best answer it has so far.
Yeah.
That is amazing. Do you know how much deal flow you would get, man, out of that?
Dude, listen, and that's another good part about being a part of a mastermind. I do the same thing you did, just do a little Kansas City shuffle to one of my buddies in CG, man, something like that.
That is hilarious, man. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that.
Dude, there was a favorite quote that is on, and dude, that is 100. I gotta dive into that because I'm passionate about this.
Go for it.
I got it in my office, bro. So you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, dude. Okay. That Wayne Gretzky, it's in my office. That I'm swinging every day, dude. Every single day I'm swinging.
I'm going to use that next week.
Yeah, I love it, dude.
All right.
Got to be swinging if you want to hit, man, you know?
All right, cool. So awesome. You got a bonus. Let's go, Jacob. You got a bonus. A bonus question.
All right, let's go, man. Right,
let's roll. Question number 4. All right, man. What is the most embarrassing thing you ever worn?
Ever worn?
In middle school, elementary. High school, whatever, man. Maybe yesterday. I don't know.
I got two little girls, right? And I'm not scared. I just something that's just happened recently. I guess I'll pretty much, they're 2 and 4. They melt my heart. I'll do anything they want, dude. They got me like wrapped around their finger. So I don't know. I would wear a wig. I mean, they just put like one of those barrettes in my hair. Yeah, so maybe a barrette or something like that.
Yeah, when you got girls, man, they want to play with your hair. They want to put makeup on you.
They like to paint my nails, So maybe wear some polish on my nails. One time I was just chilling on the couch and one of them snuck behind the couch and like, I didn't even know. She's so delicate and like gentle. She painted my nails. So maybe, I don't know, nail polish or something like that.
Well, that's good, Jake. I appreciate you. Great sport, man. Thanks for hanging in there on the 4 questions. And you didn't get that tough questions. That was a chance, all right? There's some tough ones in there.
Yeah.
Maybe next time. And I can't wait to have your wife on the podcast.
Dude, you should do that. I would like to just like leave with like a couple different things, dude. This is, we were talking earlier, man. You can't have a good business. You can't be successful without a good core at home. My wife, dude, she is my sunshine. She is my everything, dude. I could not do what I do if I didn't have my wife's support and I didn't have like her behind me on everything. She is the most amazing woman, the best woman. There's no doubt in my mind. Like she's my soulmate. I'll never be without her, man. You know?
Like, oh man, that's really nice, man. That's it's a great tip for everybody out there. If anybody needs to get a hold of you, they got a house for sale.
Yeah,
Myrtle Beach or in Winston-Salem want to wholesale you something. How does somebody get a hold of you?
Dude, I would say just email. Email. It's jacob@newsouthps.com. jacob@newsouthps.com.
New South, right? N-E-W.
Yep, N-E-W-S-O-U-T-H, P-S, Property Solutions.
Yep, I'll make sure that it's in the show notes. Anybody out there here in North Carolina, you got some projects, want to sell some houses, reach out to Jacob.
I'm ready. And just to connect.
Just connect to you, man.
Yeah, I love that.
I'll be waiting for you to come over to one of our meetups when you're out here in North Carolina.
That'd be awesome, dude.
Goodbye, man. So I really appreciate your time.
Yeah.
And thank you again. This is Javier, your host. Don't lose your shirt. Time consuming, it can be very scary. It could be like trying to get somewhere without a roadmap. So that's why I created this due diligence list when I buy a property. I'm gonna buy an apartment building, or even a mobile home park. You can use it for mostly pretty much any commercial property. But this one specifically is for a multifamily. It could be a 6-unit, it could be a 600 unit. You can use it for what you like. So go ahead and sign up, put your name, email. I'll send you the free link to my due diligence. This is what I've used to buy hundreds and hundreds of units, if not thousands of units. So sign up, you get my link. You get an Excel sheet as well. And also we use the software, project management software, monday.com. Feel free to sign up for a free trial. I do have an affiliate link. You don't pay any extra. They just pay me a small fee. Don't have to use it. You have the Excel spreadsheet, but if you use monday.com, it's actually a lot better, a lot smoother, a lot prettier, and you can do a whole bunch of other stuff. There's even a video there I created in the link. So check the link, sign up, and this is my giveaway for you guys. Thank you so much. Take care.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.